There's something so powerful about story. You know, the reason that Jesus told this story was because he was trying to make a point. And he could have made the point without telling a story. See, the issue was that the Pharisees, who thought that God really wanted a bunch of rule-keeping, a bunch of performance, he needed to dot every theological I and cross every ethical T, or God wouldn't want anything to do with you. They were disgusted that this holy man, Jesus, was actually hanging out with sinners. Now, let me just say that we don't really put ourselves into the story too often when we read about sinners. Okay, if I were to sit down with you over a cup of coffee long enough, I would find a segment of society that you consider disgusting. Can we just be honest? It might take us 5 minutes. It might take us 30 seconds. It might take us an hour. But we'd eventually get somewhere where you would say, if I were to hang out with that person and befriend that person and love that person, you would think I was compromising. Okay, now that you got that person in mind, now we can go to Luke 15. Those are the people. It wasn't the semi-respectable people or the semi-disrespectable people. It was the pathetic people, the scum of society. And so you need to sort of put yourself in the frame of mind of being a little bit understanding of the Pharisees, because the way the story is told, we would have likely felt the same way about some of the people. And what is at root is that the Pharisees had a God concept problem. And many of us have a God concept problem. We just don't know what God's really like. We think we do, but we're often wrong or inaccurate. Now, Jesus could have simply said, "Hey, Pharisees, you're wrong. You just don't get it. God is more gracious than you think he is, and grace means unmerited favor, undeserved kindness. So get it, will you?" He didn't do that. See, God likes to tell story. Truth through story. The entire Bible is truth, and God often uses story. As a matter of fact, the entire Bible is story. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration, or consummation. And the entire Bible is God telling the story of how he is the God who pursues lost people. And the beginning of Luke 15, before the parable of the prodigal sons, there's the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And Jesus, again, is trying to use story to gently help the Pharisees and us understand that God is a God who pursues the lost, who pursues the runaways, who pursues the rebellious. That's who God is. And see, I talked a few weeks ago about the heart. And the heart involves four channels, four levels, just like our physical hearts do. And our heart involves thinking, the rational, and feeling, the emotional, and deep desires, and then the volitional, where we make choices. And sometimes our guard and our defenses are up on the rational level. And that's what was true of the Pharisees. That's what's true of, I'm sure, of many of us here this morning. Okay, your defenses are up. You're ready to battle propositional statements. So instead of Jesus saying, "Pharisees, you just don't get it. God's not like that. He's a God of grace," he told a story. A story that everybody can relate to. Even if you're not a parent, you can relate to the story of a father who deeply loves his son. And the son just wants to run away. And the father, out of love, lets the son go. And we can all relate to a dad who's constantly looking for his son to return. We can imagine the worry, the sleepless nights, the longings. And then we can imagine, finally, what it would be like if that son would come home. Some of us have experienced that. Some of us are still in the midst of the pain and the agony of them not coming home. We get that. We feel that. And Jesus so often says to us, if you being evil know how to give what is good to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask? I share that to remind us that Jesus often takes what we are familiar with on our own experience, and he uses it to say, now, would you listen to yourself? And by the way, he gets me with this all the time, because in all honesty, I often think, I'm going to be really vulnerable here, I often think that I'm a better father than God is. I feel things toward my children when they're rebelling or when they're distant or when they're struggling. I feel things deeply. And yet when I go through difficulties, I don't picture the Father being disposed toward me the way I am toward my own kids. Do you struggle with that at all? The Pharisees did. The Pharisees, they had kids. The Pharisees could relate to the story Jesus was telling. They may have had tears streaming down their faces as Jesus told the story. And they didn't get it. See, they were like me. They actually were thinking, I'm a better dad than God is. Because all they thought God cared about was the dotting of the theological I's and the crossing of the ethical T's. And they didn't picture God with longings. They didn't picture God with a broken heart. And that's why they didn't picture God throwing a party over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. See, this whole parable is to teach us that God is a God of grace. That he's a God who seeks the wanderers and the lost and the rebellious. But then the story takes an amazing twist. And we find that the Father even seeks the self-righteous. That Jesus, in telling the parable, isn't saying, you Pharisees are a bunch of losers. You don't understand that God's a God of grace. No, he actually has the Father now coming to them and pleading with them to embrace grace as well. So as we conclude this morning, my first question is this: how do you connect with the younger son? And maybe don't think of like going to a really distant country, although some of us have done that, right? And if you have, come home. Jesus welcomes you. But how do we every day take little departures from home? And by the way, you know why we do that? We do that because we're still really trying to save ourselves. We choose the ways of the world because we ultimately don't believe that going to the Father is going to fulfill us, is going to satisfy us, is going to fill the ache in our soul or numb the pain in our heart. And so, not believing Jesus is enough, we go to the things of the world. And we're hoping that the things of the world will numb us from the pain we feel. See, it's interesting. We think of the self-righteous, works-oriented person trying to save themselves by their own works. Do you realize that the irreligious, self-indulgent person is actually doing the same thing? The irreligious, self-indulgent is simply trying to save themselves. And when we do that, and we all do that, we can know the Father is calling us to come home. Second question, how are you like the older son? How do you picture God as a harsh taskmaster? And what you think he wants from you is to get it all right. And because you think he's that way, there's actually resentment building up in your heart toward God. And as it turns out, you're not really living the life because you love him. You're actually living the life because you love yourself. And you're engaging in self-reliant self-sufficiency in order to maybe win God's favor. How are you like that? How are you in the church, close to home, the Father's house, and yet you are just as distant from God's heart and intimacy as the blatant sinner that's a million miles away? How do you connect with the story of the younger son? How do you connect with the story of the older son? Oh, and by the way, there's one more way you can be an older son. You can be elder brothers to elder brothers. That's where I struggle. By the way, that's where I see people struggle sometimes at Oak Mountain. By God's mercy, is one of the messages that are clear here is God's message of grace. And I've run into hundreds of people who get angry that they feel they've lived a Christian life where they've not been seeing that grace emphasized, and they feel that it's really hurt them. And as a result, they're angry toward all those people who don't get grace, who didn't teach them the way they should have been. And so now they are self-righteous against those who are self-righteous who don't get grace. I know, it's really sick if you think about it. And that's really the whole point of the story. We're all pretty sick if you think about it. And Jesus is running after all of us. And that's really the third comparison I want us to close with this morning. How do you connect with the Father? Because that's what the whole parable's about. Not only can you learn about the Father's heart, but how is God calling you to express, reveal, reflect, and represent his heart? See, the story is not really about the Pharisees and the older son. It's not really about the tax collectors and prostitutes and the younger sons and daughters. The parable's actually about what's the Father like. That's what the whole parable's about. What's the Father like? And Jesus is actually calling us to become the Father at work, at play, at home. He's calling us to be the Father, to pursue the irreligious, self-indulgent with grace. and to pursue the self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-righteous, religious person with the same grace. And then he's always calling us to return to him when we live both of those ways. I have a couple of things I want to say, but before I close, I want to ask the ushers to come forward and receive our morning offering. And also, if you look at the pew back in front of you, there's a black welcome book. If you please go ahead and grab that, fill that out as completely as you can. You should have received when you walked in our weekly. I'm not going to go through any of the announcements today. You can read that. Please do so. I do want to remind you that next Sunday begins what for many schools around here is spring break. So as a result, we only have one service next Sunday at 10:45. There's also some information in your weekly. Also, since I'm covering story today, if you wonder what I was doing, we're covering story in the Blue Book. If you're new here, this church is going through a devotional we call the Blue Book, and we've skipped around a little bit. Now, we realize that's caused some heartburn for some of you pre-sermonic people. Okay? We got pre-sermonic people in this church. We got post-sermonic people in this church. We're going to start putting both of them on the website. Okay? So just go to the website because we are going to be jumping around a bit. We've got Easter coming up, Palm Sunday. We want to make sure the chapter in the Blue Book matches with the message of the week. So you'll find out where we're going to be by going to the website. When it comes to understanding the parable, when it comes to the two brothers, there's a principle I don't want to leave with you this morning, and it's this. And please hear this. You are never so bad that you ever get beyond the reach of God's grace. And you are never so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace. Let me say that again. You are never, ever so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And on your best day, when you think you've done everything right, you are never, ever so good that you're beyond the need of God's grace. So as we close, what is God revealing about your story this morning as it relates to his story? His story of redemption, his story of what he's wanting to do in your life. How does today reveal that story? What's he stirring in your soul through what you experienced this morning? Again, how did he bypass your mind? That's the power of story. You bypass the rational defenses of your mind. I mean, you know the story of David, right? David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. He tried to cover up his sin and actually had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed, and he was just going on his way. So God sent Nathan a prophet. Now, Nathan could have said, David, you dummy, what are you doing? You've committed adultery, you've committed murder, and you need to repent. Let's use story more when we're trying to love each other toward God. Because God sent Nathan, and Nathan said, hey, David, let me tell you this story. There was a rich landowner who had lots of sheep. And there was also this really poor farmer. He had nothing. He had one little lamb. And one day, this rich guy that had everything decided he wanted the one lamb, the only lamb, the only thing this poor farmer had, and he took it. David went ballistic. That guy deserves to be killed. Who is that guy? What a louse. And Nathan said, "Hey, David, you're that guy. That's what you've done." And David was able to connect his sin at the level of seeing it for what it was. That's why Jesus told the parable, that we might see what our sin does to the heart of the Father. That we might see what our self-righteousness does to the heart of the Father. That we might understand that whether we're irreligious and self-indulgent or we're religious and self-righteous, we're both all distant from the Father. But then he wants us to understand the Father calls all of us and says, "Come on home. I've been waiting." Let's pray.